No relationship, of course, is perfect, but for the most part, a good relationship makes you feel secure and happy and cared for and respected and perhaps most importantly, free to be yourself. But on the other side of the coin are toxic relationships, the ones that make you feel drained and depleted, sometimes even distraught. Tonight on Ask Dr. Josh, we're talking about how to deal with the effects of being in a toxic relationship and when and how to know that it's time to get out. Dr. Josh, of course, is a behavioural scientist and psychologist, and he joins us on the line from the States now. Good evening to you, Dr. Josh. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening, Sarah Jane. Your previous segment actually reminded me a little bit of my family vacation out in Seattle, Washington. Although we weren't out on the track, we were in the middle of the streets with lots of pedestrians, lots of bikes, and we all had bells on our bikes, and they were not cool, but they were very useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes you have to sacrifice a bit of cool just for the consideration of others, I would say. Anyway, it's great to have you back on. We're talking toxic relationships, which is something that I feel something of an expert in, seeing as that seems to, in my past, have been a prerequisite for me getting into relationships. Seek out the most toxic person on the planet and ask them out for a drink, and the rest will unfurl in a disaster of trauma and distress for the next 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that seriously, are some people just more inclined to toxic relationships? And is it a reflection on me as a... does it mean that I'm toxic, that I've been in toxic relationships?
I think we've all found ourselves at least once in a toxic relationship. And more times than not, we don't recognize it. It takes a while. We think it's a good relationship, and at some point down the road, somewhere between 4 weeks and 4 years, we realize, oh, dear God, what have we done? I would say, though, if you're constantly in toxic relationships and you keep coming back to them, that's, as a psychologist, that tells me we might want to do a little bit of self-reflection and ask ourselves, what is it that we're – not necessarily that you're toxic – but what is it that you are bringing into the engagement that keeps putting you in these bad positions? And I think that's really important. One toxic relationship, okay. Two, maybe. After about the third, if you're not getting out immediately, then you're starting to wonder what kind of blind spots might I have that keeps me from realizing this is not good for me.
Is it always true to say that it takes two people to have a toxic relationship?
It does, because if there's only one person who's toxic and the other person is, let's just say, they're reasonably well-adjusted and they're reasonably okay, then as soon as they recognize the toxicity, they should be able to sort of pull themselves out. Mm. But what ends up happening more times than not for all of us is there's usually a toxic person, and then there's the other person that brings their history, their past traumas, their learning, their early childhood disruptions, all those kinds of things, and they bring that to the relationship, and it becomes a little bit more like a toxic stew or toxic soup. And so... yes, it takes two to stay toxic. It only takes one to be toxic.
Okay. Now, I know that you sort of outline that there are different types of different personality types to look out for when it comes to toxic relationships. The first one being the needy partner. How does one identify if they are the needy partner, or if they are in a relationship with the needy partner? What are the telltale signs?
So one of the challenges with some of these toxic relationships, including the needy partner, is that in the beginning, it feels great. You know, this person is dependent. It depends on me. I can help this person. I can fulfill for them. You know, we like to feel wanted. And so initially, the needy toxic person actually comes across as, oh, a wonderful way to reach out and to help somebody. That being said, you have to think about it in this way. The needy person is the person for whom not only are you providing support for, But to be honest with you, you're solving their problems.
Mm.
You find yourself solving big problems and small problems, daily problems and life problems. And that, and whether that is you or whether that's the person you're with, if you're constantly having to fix their life for them
mm-hmm.
versus them fixing it themselves, now you've got a needy person. And that is not, it's not healthy for them, obviously. It's not healthy for you either.
So any time that you feel like you're playing mom or dad to your partner, you need to maybe take a look at what's happening.
When it happens, Sarah Jane, when it's happening consistently.
Yeah,
we all
yeah.
play mom and dad.
Sure.
We all, but, and that's the thing with all these things is it's one thing if it happens a few times or if there's a difficult situation, but if you look at it and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I am constantly solving their problems, or more importantly, they're coming to me with everything, that nothing can be solved on their own, then you're in a bad situation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds familiar. The indecisive partner.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. It sounds like the needy partner, but it's a little different.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do we differentiate?
The needy partner is, I can't do anything without you, okay? I can't be without you. I can't live without you. I can't get out of bed without you. I can't. The indecisive is the, I don't know. I'm not sure. Should I do this? Should I do that? Are we good? Or are we not? Is our relationship healthy? Is it not? Are you okay? Am I okay? It's the person who literally can't make decisions without either your input or your validation. And that's a little bit, that's the difference between the needy person just simply cannot function without you. The indecisive moves forward and then immediately turns back to get input from you, which if you think about it, in the short run, and once in a while, that's very healthy.
Yeah.
We want our partners. But if it's constant, and hopefully we'll get into, if you feel that, if it's draining you, then you're in a bad place.
Here's the thing that I'm noticing, and we're only at partners one and two, different partners one and two, different personality types one and two, but I think for me, and in my experience in terms of toxic relationships, and I mentioned this in the intro, nobody wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to get into a toxic relationship today. That would be utter madness. But right. Some of the things that we are looking for in a relationship, you're not necessarily going to put all of yourself out there immediately. It can take a while to recognize that a pattern is developing, an unhealthy pattern is developing. It's one thing to say, oh, darling, you know, I just can't live without you, as a kind of throwaway comment, or to say, oh, I don't want to go here without you, or, you know, oh, where are you going? I'm going to miss you. Sort of in the early stages of relationship every so often. But if, you know, 6 months or a year down the line, that's turned into, no, no, really, darling, I cannot live without you. Or what should I do about this? Or what should I do about this? Or can you control my money? Or how much should I have? Or what should I? I mean, that's become madness.
Yes.
But if that was present initially, we'd all run a mile.
That's exactly well, and this is the challenge around toxic relationships. The behaviors that are displayed that are toxic in the beginning, when they first come out, they can actually be appealing, attractive, cute, funny, endearing, safe, all those sorts of things. And that's why what you're not looking for the behavior itself. What you're really looking for is the behavior over time. But also, what's so important, what's your response to it? To your point, oh, darling, I can't live without you. In the beginning, that makes me feel great. You love me. But if you wake up one morning, 3 weeks down the road or 3 months down the road, and you think, oh, my God, if they tell me one more time that they can't live without me, and when it starts wearing on you, now you know that it's not good for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely it does. If you are just joining us this evening, we are on the line with Dr. Josh Klepo, and we're talking tonight about toxic relationships. How do you recognise that you are in one? And I guess that speaks to what we've just been talking about, in that nobody wakes up one morning and says, today I'm going to get into a toxic relationship. You have to recognise certain behaviours and patterns over a period of time, and how to get out, or when to get out once you've realised that that you perhaps are in a toxic relationship. Would love to hear your thoughts. Perhaps this is something that you can relate to. Maybe that you feel now that you are in a toxic relationship but aren't sure how to get out. And I found in my experience that often toxicity and codependence can sometimes go hand in hand, which, and the codependence then making it difficult to leave. Maybe you have managed to extricate yourself from a toxic relationship. How did you do it? What was the crucial point for you? What was the turning point that you realised, I have to get out? Get in touch with us, please, on 021-446-0567 if you would like to join the conversation. You can drop us an SMS to 31567 or a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. And, of course, you can also get us on Twitter, where we are at Cape Talk, at This Is SJ King, and also at Dr. Josh K. We've had a message in on the WhatsApp that says, I have bipolar disorder and borderline personality disorder. What can I do to make it easier for my partner? I don't want the walking on eggshell situation happening all too often. I relate to you, my friend. Dr. Josh?
Yeah, so that's really hard. But I will tell you, just the fact that that you got the message in and that the person's saying, I recognize what my disorders are.
Yeah.
More than anything else, particularly with borderline, I mean, bipolar is important too, but with a personality disorder, being able to educate your partner about, frankly, what I might do. And it's not a threat. But it's more sort of saying this is and encouraging your partner to understand what borderline and bipolar are.
Absolutely.
So that they can differentiate between you just doing something to rope them in or to be toxic versus you suffering from a condition that you're trying to manage, and none of us can manage our conditions perfectly all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, never a truer word. And it is difficult. And I think having the conversation around that, explaining to your partner what your triggers are, how you're triggered.
Yes.
Because a lot of stuff for me, again, I mean, I'm sure I'm a lunatic in relationships, and I'm sure some of that's to do with the fact that I'm just not great at relationships, and some of it's to do with the fact that I have borderline, particularly borderline, not so much bipolar, but borderline,
right.
That I'm triggered emotionally by situations and behaviors.
Well, and let me say this. I think it's one thing to say, I have this problem, and here are the things that I'm triggered by. And I think that's important. But I will tell you that in a relationship, whether it's a mental health problem or not, simply telling the person is important. But it's also your responsibility as the person who has that condition to do what you can.
Agreed.
To keep that condition managed enough in order to be in a healthy relationship.
Agreed.
Whether that's continuing to go through therapy, to stay on your medications. That's incredibly important, because you do see sometimes, particularly in toxic relationships, where a person will say simply, I'm just needy. That's just the way that I am. Or I am just a scared person, and that's what you got yourself into. And even as a psychologist, I don't buy that. That's not you. You're not pulling your weight in a relationship if you simply state, this is what's wrong with
Agreed.
Me, and just I want you to know that. That's not enough.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You got to work to be better. I always say this, Sarah Jane, in a relationship, there are three components. There's you, there's the other person, and there's the relationship itself. And you must make sure that all of them, that you do your best to manage yourself, to nurture yourself and the relationship, and that your partner is doing their best to nurture themselves and the relationship and to nurture you. All three have to go on. And if any one of them drops out, you're in trouble.
I tell you, and I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that I've realised that the older I get, and the more therapy I have, and the more that I speak to other people and friends and about relationships, is that we're told often that the narrative around relationships is referring to somebody as you know, my better half or my significant other, or they complete me. And the idea that you go in as half a person, and it's then the responsibility of the other person to make you a whole. I mean, forget that. I don't want somebody feeling responsible for that. And I'm telling you now, future partners, I don't want that responsibility. Come to me as a whole person, please.
Amen. There's not a psychologist on this planet that wouldn't agree with you, because that is exactly the problem. You enhance me. You make me better when I'm with you. Those are all fun.
Yeah.
But to walk in and say, I am flawed, depleted, I have a hole, I have, you know, a gap, and your presence is what, then what that says is, the second that you pull away, even if you're in the relationship, then I'm not going to be a good, healthy person.
Yeah.
No way. Absolutely not. You should never be in a relationship that way. And that's frankly, that is one of the telltale signs for a toxic relationship. Hmm. If you are required to fix this person's deficiencies, you're in a toxic relationship.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit? I want to go on to the controlling part, the other personality types, which are the controlling partner and the partner who's always seeking validation. I find those very closely linked, those two, the controlling partner and the one, in my experience.
They can be. Mm. They absolutely can be. They don't have to be. Controlling is usually done two ways. It's either passive or aggressive. So controlling in the more, what we're used to, the more sort of abusive relationship,
yeah,
where they dictate who you see, when you see them, or when you see other people, they control your social networks. It's all about what they want. And it's a very active, aggressive act, and it's the ones that we tend to see that go hand in hand with physical or sexual abuse. That is one form of controlling. The other controlling, the more passive, is manipulative. It's I can't do this. I am going to fail if you don't stay close to me. I will not be able to be healthy in our relationship and have sex with you if I see you with other women or other men or what have you. So it's a more of a passive thing. I have these needs that have to be fulfilled, and if they're fulfilled, then I will be able to give you this or that or be able to be healthy for you. It sounds like needy, but it's much more manipulative than it is just sort of passive, and frankly, needy tends to be a little more pathetic.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. That was the best characteristic I could offer.
That's amazing. Let's talk about the partner who's always seeking validation. Oh, draining.
Mm-hmm. So this is the person we all, and let me say this, again, let me emphasize, all these things we need in a relationship. We all need validation in a relationship. I would even argue that some of the fundamental problems that I see in relationships are there's not enough explicit validation. You've done well. I love you. Thank you for doing that. That's healthy. The challenge that we see is that the person who is seeking validation is simply they cannot function in the relationship if there is anything but validation. Mm. So if you critique them, if you provide them feedback, if you disagree with them, if you want to offer an alternative opinion,
yep,
all of those things go over very bad.
So exhausting. Let's go to a couple of the messages. Preach, sister, says somebody here. I always try and lay the grounds of an open relationship when trying to get to know a potential partner so that we have a free but yet responsible foundation, so we allow each other to have enjoyable, so that we allow each other to be enjoyable but yet responsible ladies and guys nights out. That I find that interesting, that in terms of living with your partner, but not through your partner. Couples that suddenly only ever see each other and they don't have time on their own. I find that quite strange. I'm guilty of having done that in the past because I thought that's what it meant to be in a healthy relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know where I got that idea from, but I thought that's what it meant.
This happens all the time. I'm getting sick of you. Oh my God, there must be something wrong with my relationship because I'm getting sick of you. No, you've just been with this person 24/7 for the last 8 months. It's time to go get out.
Yeah.
And we're human first. We're human first. We're partners second. And humans need variety. That doesn't mean infidelity.
Yeah.
It just means we need variety of interaction. So yes, being sick of your significant other, sick of temporarily, simply means go get out and get your head clear.
Get a life. Here's something that my girlfriends and I talk about, is that very often when we do the debrief of a disastrous relationship, is that they will say to me, which happens frequently, they'll say to me, the very thing that attracted him or her initially was the thing that he, she eventually tried to sort of abuse out of me, passively, aggressively get out of me, manipulate me out of. The fact that I was a vibrant, confident person actually is what attracted them, but then they became threatened by that and didn't want me to be that person anymore.
It almost goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about. I mean, think about any one of these ones we've been talking about. The person who is looking for validation, the person who seems needy or even indecisive, for a lot of us, that's okay, dear, let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me validate you, let me tell you how great you are. Or even the controlling person, this is so nice. Yes, you take the reins and we go, right? So in the initial phases, these characteristics very often are very appealing. What seems needy or even indecisive, for a lot of us, that's okay, dear, let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me validate you, let me tell you how great you are. Or even the controlling person, this is so nice. Yes, you take the reins and we go, right? So in the initial phases, these characteristics very often are very appealing. What turns them into being unhealthy is when they rise to the top, they stay there, and they stay there in a prominent way. Mm-hmm. We all are needy. We all are indecisive. We all are controlling. We all seek validation. But it has to be a rotating recipe of that. It has to come out a little bits and pieces here and there. When it's only one of them or one of them that's so prominent, then very soon what is very appealing, it's like it's a dish that is spicy, but it's too spicy. It works for the first taste. And then after a minute or, 5 minutes later, your mouth is on fire and you've had enough.
Josh, we're going to have to leave it there. It's always fantastic to have you on. I always go away thinking that I'm that bit more emotionally healthy. You can follow Dr. Josh at Dr. Josh K on Twitter. And just give us the website in 5 seconds.
joshklapow.com. joshklapow.com.
Wonderful stuff. Thanks so much to Dr. Josh.